Please pray with me. God, grant that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, and the witness of our lives be acceptable to you, and speak of the many ways you come to us and are present with us, and tell others of the ways you are always with us. Amen. In today's gospel reading, we hear the story of Jesus' last resurrection appearance to the disciples in the Gospel of Matthew. The women who had gone to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body found there not his body, but an angel who told them Jesus has been raised. And on their way back to tell the other disciples, they saw the risen Christ themselves. And they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." In today's gospel reading, we see the rest of the disciples seeing Jesus. After the women saw him, they went to Galilee, as they had heard from the women, and they saw Jesus raised from the dead for the first time and the last time. And as he did when the women at the tomb first saw him, Jesus offered to them, in his farewell words to them, a reminder of God's full promises and a charge to them to go and share the good news with others. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And I will be with you always." Years later, the Apostle Paul ended his letter to the Corinthians like this: "Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." In both Paul's letter, his ending, his farewell words in his letter to the Corinthians, and Jesus' farewell words to the disciples, we see hints of the beginning of what became the doctrine of the Trinity, before it became doctrine, when it was just part of the language that people used to share the gift of God's grace and the weight of God's commands with others so that they might know God more fully. I think it's important to remember how the doctrine of the Trinity came into being, because it can seem like this abstract philosophical thing that maybe came out of the head of some ivory tower theologian or the creation of a council of church fathers, and that's not how it happened. This way of picturing God as a community of three in one grew out of the way people in ancient times experienced God and the stories they told to share those experiences with others. People had holy moments when they were overwhelmed by the immensity of the world around them, and in the same moment knew that they somehow were part of God's good creation, that they were fearfully and wonderfully made too. And in those moments, they felt the presence of God, the Creator. In other times, they felt protected in harsh desert times, as a child feels safe in her father's arms or in her mother's embrace. And they felt the presence of God the Father. Other times, other people found freedom from all kinds of things that hold humans captive, or they found strength they didn't know to help someone else find freedom. Still others were captured by a sense of certainty that God knew their weakness and their worst impulses, and yet loved them still, and could make something new and whole out of brokenness. People who met Jesus saw God in him. People experienced all kinds of holy moments like these, and they said, "Aha, this is God. I have to tell someone about this." And so they told those stories of their holy moments when they felt God come near. And others heard their stories and recognized that they too had felt the presence of God in their lives in similar ways. And they told their stories. And these stories were shared with communities and passed down from generation to generation. And eventually some of them were written down and became our sacred scriptures. Over time, as people heard and read and studied these stories, they saw this pattern: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God who makes us and redeems us and sustains us. And so, seeing this pattern in Scripture, they began to speak about God in this threefold pattern. They greeted one another in worship, as you heard Pastor Kate greet you just a few minutes ago. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is an ancient, ancient greeting that we hear each Sunday in worship. They baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and they kept telling these stories to one another of the ways God had shown up in their lives and in the lives of people generations before. And they kept learning how to see God in their lives. It was a few hundred years later that the pattern of speaking about God in this way became the official doctrine of the Holy Trinity. But for me, the importance of the Trinity is most clear when I remember the time before it became official, when people were simply telling about their experiences of God, telling stories of the God who is many things but is one, stories about the God who is with us always, whatever the circumstances, even to the end of the age. The God who established the moon and the stars, as we read together in Psalm 8, is the same God whom Jesus revealed as he ate with sinners and blessed children and gave up his life for our sake. God is the Spirit that brooded over the waters in the beginning of all things, and the Spirit that Jesus promised to send to the disciples to comfort and guide them and empower them to share the good news far beyond their own abilities, beyond communities of people who were like them, to the ends of the earth. When we affirm God as three in one, we are not just repeating a stale doctrine. We are declaring that we see God in all of these ways. But God is not contained in just one of them. God is all of these things and much more. Through the ages, we have received the stories of those who have discovered the God who promises to be with us always and who shows up in all of these ways in our lives. What are your stories? How have you experienced God's presence in your life? What stories of holy moments do you tell? There is someone who needs to hear how you experienced the gift of forgiveness, or how you found the strength to forgive someone who hurt you. There's someone who needs to hear your story of how God was present with you in times of sorrow or struggle, or in times of joy, or on an ordinary day when God was present with you and came near and helped you to see things differently. It's likely, too, that you need to hear other stories. On this Trinity Sunday, we remember that God is not contained in our experiences of God alone, that we need one another's stories to more fully know God. Thanks be to our God, the three in one, who made us to live and grow and witness together, who shows us how to love one another and gives us strength to love and to tell our stories, to reach out into the world, to share and discover God's presence, God who is always with us, always reaching out to us, inviting us into the life of God, who is three in one. Amen.